RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
All right, to the tickle versus giggle outcome in which Australia's federal court ruled in favour of transgender person Roxanne Tickle. Transgender person is a guy, all right? Now, Sal Grover is the founder, as you know, of independent female-only social media networking platform and app, Giggle, and was the defendant in the prominent Tickle versus Giggle case, which in essence tested gender identity versus biological sex in law. She's been on our program a few times now and also most recently with Marie last week on Counterculture. And she's back with us and she's probably a bit exhausted. Sal, welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
How's it been the last week?
I mean, it's been surreal in a sense because you go, you know, for 4.5 years I've been involved in this issue. And, you know, we're always told that we're crazy, we're wrong, it's not happening, we're hysterical, whatnot. You know, it's just a culture war, blah, blah, blah. And so to get the confirmation that everything we've been saying is actually completely and utterly true, it's as bad as what we've been claiming, is devastating. But also, you know, you feel vindicated in that aspect of it, despite the fact that it would have been lovely, obviously, to win in federal court. But, you know, it just from the time, like the very beginning of this, when it was just an Australian Human Rights Commission complaint, and, you know, which I could have just settled, like, and just sort of given in to the demands of not only this guy, but, you know, sort of what all of the activists, trans activists are doing. From that moment when I was told either you just give in now or you're going to, this fight will go to the High Court. So I've always known that this was a marathon, not a sprint. So we're halfway through.
And you've kind of, you're feeling you got to go all the way, right?
100%. Because so essentially what has happened is we went to federal court with what was basically the first ever What is a Woman case because it was gender identity versus sex in the Sex Discrimination Act. And so this was the first time it was going to be so directly tested in law. What we had against us is these amendments that were put into our Sex Discrimination Act. Gender identity was put in there in 2013, and they took out the definition of men and women. And then we had the Australian Human Rights Commission, slash the Sex Discrimination Commission within the AHRC, interpreting the law in the favor of, you know, trans activism, basically, in favor of gender ideology. So that was the hurdle. And so, you know, always knew that was sort of what was working against us, and that there was a chance that, you know, that the judge would basically just go with what the AHRC's interpretation of it is, which is effectively what has happened. And so you have to go further because what's happened is an error in law, and the High Court in Australia is an error in law court. And what needs to change is the actual law. So once you got a win in the High Court is the place where then there would be recommendations to legislators to repeal the amendments. And that's what has to happen ultimately.
So was there discretion in the court? I don't have any experience of this, so it might be a dumb question. People might already know the answer. But could the court have decided to go with the biological reality of the situation and disregard a law? Because if I pass a law and say the sky's green when it's blue, I mean, you know.
Yeah, completely.
Okay, it's a law, but it's not true. It's, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, I mean, that's always just like, you know, I mean, I'm no law expert either. I mean, this has just basically been like a baptism by fire the whole time. And sometimes my barrister does speak to me as if I am also an expert in law. And so she'll be saying things to me and I'm like, Brady, you may as well be like speaking to me in like Gaelic. I have no idea what you're talking about. So I've always just had to try and learn as quickly as possible. But yeah, I mean, because you're dealing with amendments that are ideological, and then our argument is based in reality and fact. You know, I've always thought that the one place in the planet that cared about evidence, reality, and facts was a court of law. But you know, I mean, this is the crazy world we live in at the moment. It could have been interpreted our way in a number of different ways, whether it was just that from the fact that, like, you know, obviously, you know, female-only spaces, you know, need to exist, blah, blah, blah. But it's not even that female-only spaces are really up for debate. They're not saying that you can't have female-only spaces. They're just saying that men who claim to be women have to be included in them, which effectively means there's no such thing as a female-only space. Yeah. But it's like they're not asking us to like justify female only spaces necessary. They're forcing us to believe that men are women. That's what makes this all so much sinister. Now, Australia's Sex Discrimination Act, when it was drafted and put into law in 1984, the intention was obviously biological reality, obviously, because in 1984, which is most, you know, just sort of coincidental year for this act to come into effect, considering what we're dealing with now. But in 1984, people weren't claiming men or women like this. So it was never for them. The amendments completely muddled it. And you could definitely have had a judgment or a judge that was interested in unmeddling that. But that's just not where we are right now, unfortunately.
So were we royal we, because we've all got an interest in this, dealing with some kind of activist judge. Was the judge a male or female? I haven't even looked into it yet.
Male.
Okay.
My thing is, I mean, I'm never going to go after a judge. Obviously, I don't respect the judgment or anything. I don't like it.
Yeah.
But this is one man doing his job, you know, presumably to the best of his ability.
Knows what it means, Sal. He knows that it opens up spaces where women and girls should have security and privacy and for all the reasons we know, that's actually creating a danger.
I mean, that's what I keep saying. I think it's even further than that. Like, obviously, yes. I mean, this creates such an unsafe reality for women and girls in Australia. But it also just opens up this. It's the freedom of belief issue. Like, I come back to this every single time. I'm like, obviously, I've come into this gender ideology issue from the perspective of female spaces and women's rights. But that is the tip of the iceberg. Like, we are the canaries in the coal mine. Like, literally everyone is being forced by law to believe that men can be women. And I just think once the state can make you believe that, they can make you believe anything, and we're in really dangerous territory. So that's why it's so important to fight it to the absolute end, because this is us making sure that society actually stays tied to reality.
Yeah, good point. And that's important. Don't need to argue that. Roxanne Tickle. Awarded $10,000 in damages, could have been more, for anxiety and suicidality. I think I said that word correctly, due to being excluded from the app. Do you believe that?
I mean, I'm excluded from the app at the moment. The app doesn't.
But you got to top yourself. I mean, the reason I mention this. This is the card that's played often by the gender ideologists. You say anything that we don't like, we might take ourselves out.
That's a disgusting emotional manipulation that is incredibly irresponsible. All I can say is that, you know, I'm the respondent in this case, not the applicant. So when you're the applicant in the case, you are effectively making so many more choices than the respondent is. I'm on the receiving end. My life has been utterly turned upside down by this case. My startup is not online anymore, in part because of it. I had to raise $500,000 in a year to be able to pay for it, which, like, it is hard, next to impossible to earn $500,000 in a year. To go and raise that amount of money was a full-time job. Like, this has literally taken up my life. I mean, I got the Australian Human Rights Commission complaint when I was 15 weeks pregnant. My daughter just had her second birthday. By the time this case is wrapped up in the High Court, she will be three. She's probably about three and a half. So my life has been utterly turned upside down by this. And the damages are in part apparently because I laughed in court at a meme. I had an involuntary human reaction to something that was just so in the context. And I said it even in the room. Basically, they made me look at a meme in the court book. And you're sitting there in federal court in this, you know, I respect the process of the law, but I've never respected the premise of this case. And I'm sitting there in this highly stressful situation, and they're making me look at a meme from Twitter. And you're like, how on earth is this real life? This is what people are having to spend so much time and money on. So yeah, I laughed. And so it's the laugh that cost me $10,000.
Because that sounds to me like some part of the fetish putting you through hell because I can.
Yeah. Once you know a lot about gender ideology and the people who are pushing it, you can't unsee it, can you?
No. And that might be a bit harsh, but I think that's a fair enough point to make. Otherwise, why would you? I mean, no one is that taken out by a wee laugh. I mean, come on. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, there's nothing I have to pay as of yet. Like, you know, you exhaust appeals before
No,
that
but happens. Even just to yeah. have that. Yeah. Okay. So here's the what happens now question. What mm-hmm. happens now, Sal?
Okay, so I actually had my first sort of war meeting with the, like, strategy meeting with the legal team. We've got a new person in joining the legal team, which we always knew was going to happen. So that will all be sort of finalized very, very soon. Very excited about that. I'm feeling very confident, actually. I'm feeling very good overall, like, because I just know, I just always knew that this was going to be happening, whether it was me taking it to the High Court or the other side. So it does feel nice in a sense to be for the first time in 2.5 years, actually making a choice about this. So I'm trying to find the silver lining of anything I can, because if I stopped and got overwhelmed by it, it wouldn't be great right now. So the first step is you do actually go to the full bench of the federal court first, and then it's the High Court. I suppose we're just sort of anticipating that the full bench of the federal court, the federal court will uphold a federal court decision, basically. So you have to go to a completely new court. High court is different to a federal court. A federal court is where you're doing a lot of, you know, the he said, she said. It's just sort of the nuts and bolts of facts of the case, blah, blah, blah. The high court is purely an error in law court. So it's no longer like he said, she said. It's just we are focusing on these laws here and how they are being interpreted. So it's a completely different case, very dry and boring by that point. That's where we're going. We're starting the crowdfunding again for it, because this one's going to be about $800,000 we've been quoted. So that's for both high court and federal court. So by the time we are at the end of this, it's going to be about $1.2 million in, $1.3 million in of saying men are not women, and you don't have to believe that, and you don't have to let men who claim to be women into women and girls' spaces. That's where we're at. So we're crowdfunding on GiggleCrowdfund.com, and there's more information on there about the case. We'll update it more soon as well, of just like the judgment and more just information. It's just been an utterly crazy week, and the lawyers are obviously still just going over everything.
I think you've been covered quite extensively by media. I've seen UK, et cetera, talking to you, and I'm thinking, go Sal. But how busy have you been? Who's reached out? Who's got in touch? At all levels.
Yeah, so it's been lovely. There's been like US and UK media that's been really interested, and some Australian, like Sky News in Australia really is sort of my, you know, just a completely unexpected, just sort of in the trajectory of my life, but they've become my best friend in this. They give me a great platform to speak about this issue, and they understand it, which is really great. I'm like the likes of Peter Credlin. She actually understands what she's talking about. But the usual places in Australia, sort of the mainstream legacy places, they don't reach out. Like The Guardian doesn't ask me for a comment. They just write whatever they want. ABC News, which is our state-funded news, I've emailed them many times. For some reason, they've never responded. It's crazy. It's definitely a lot more people. Actually, Daily Mail is the other one. They've actually been really good on this. Daily Mail is good because it is so widely read. Whether it's always, you know, the pinnacle of great journalism is a completely different discussion, but it is widely read. The messages of support I've gotten from people who are saying, I literally had no idea that this was going on.
Right.
That is the most sinister part. There's two things that I find really sinister about this, and is that one, it's the media censorship on this issue of making sure people don't know what is actually happening. That to me says that they know, one, how evil this ideology is, and two, that if people did know about it, it wouldn't have any support. The other part that's always been the most sinister to me is the amendments themselves. You know, I mean, if they just put gender identity into the Sex Discrimination Act, you could sit there going, oh, maybe they didn't know what they were doing, that they were going to completely destroy women's rights with this. Like, it was an accident, you know, human beings make mistakes. But because they took out the definitions of man and woman, leads me to believe that it was malicious.
So how long ago was that again?
2013. And it's not like the law has been working well since then. It's just the AHRC has been using their interpretation, because it's never been challenged in law, No one really knew what the outcome of it would be, that it could be sex could still have more weight than gender identity. But they've been interpreting it that it has and intimidating a lot of people. So a lot of people have just caved to that because obviously going to federal and high court is not something you would choose to do. But yeah, this is where we are.
Do you think it's reasonable to say that actually this is a well thought out attempt, because it is an attempt at this stage, but it's been working pretty well so far, to kind of erase what is a woman? Can we go that far? Do you think? I know it sounds extreme, but, you know, look at how things line up.
Yeah, you just go, why would you do this if it was not because you wanted to erase women? What's your other reason? Because, I mean, this is what's happening. If there's another reason for doing it, please let us know. Because basically what this judgment has confirmed is that it's not only that gender identity has more weight in sex in law in Australia, it's that sex isn't a biological concept. It's just a legal concept. Legal sex, the concept of legal sex, is gender ideology. So it's just completely infiltrated it from the top down. That's why the judge is saying sex is changeable. And what has been allowed me to be able to say to everybody, well, sex is obviously not changeable, but laws are changeable. So it feels nicer being on the side of dealing with reality and facts. And then you go, okay, well, yeah, laws do change. I'm just fighting for the thing that actually does change. They're trying to fight to tell everybody that you have to believe that men can be women. That is a really hard fight when you've got a lot of recognition of people going, hang on, I'm realizing what's going on here. It will not, under scrutiny, it will not survive. So basically part of the job now is to make as many people in the world aware of what is going on, because look at Tickle v. Giggle as just the warning sign of, if you put gender identity into your law, this is what will happen.
Have any of the political class reached out and said, Sal, we got to do something about this? Have they?
Pauline Hanson actually is the one who has been making statements saying she's going to do a bill and change this. And so, like, thank you. Cool.
Okay.
So that's the one so far. I mean, they're getting to a point, hopefully, in Australia where the politicians, say Liberal and Labor politicians, can't ignore this anymore. They just tried to dismiss it as a culture war. And it's so frustrating because it's like, well, did you just dismiss Tickle? Did you say, oh, dude, it's just a culture war? Why are you starting a culture war? It's only when we're trying to fight back with reality is that they dismiss it as a culture war, not when the absurdity is being put in. So, yeah, time's up on that sort of thing. I don't think people, everyday people, want the government in their minds to this extent. I understand that, say, like in the next election in Australia, the focus will be cost of living. We're in a cost of living crisis. So when everyone's sitting there trying to make ends meet to go, hang on, I don't know if I've got the bandwidth to even contemplate what this men being women thing even is. But it's, as I said, it comes back to, if they can make you believe this, they can make you believe anything. And that then infiltrates every other part of society. So it will infiltrate your cost of living. It infiltrates everything, because they'll just make you accept things that are unacceptable.
Like, you say you've got a cost of living crisis. No, you haven't. But I have. No, you haven't. I'm telling you. Oh, okay, I haven't then.
Exactly. That's why you've got to fight back against this, because it is so ludicrous and it's so dangerous.
Coming up against time, Sal, it's a tough fight for you. I know, because we've chatted over time and it's wound up over a period, and you've been through other things in your life while this is all happening, and it's been stressful and probably lack of sleep recently and getting around all these things. Big weight of responsibility now. Something has chosen you to fight this, Sal, right?
Yeah, that's how I've kind of always felt it, in a sense of like something just happens and you just rise to the occasion. Because I remember, I'll never forget the day that I, when it was the AHRC complaint stage, where I'd given the solicitor the instruction that no, I wouldn't go to conciliation, because we tried going back and forth, arguing that we were trying to settle it and argue our position then, try and win it then. And they weren't even listening. It's like they weren't even reading it. And it was just basically, I had to let him on. I had to go to sex and gender education. Like, it was just agree to this or it doesn't go away. And I just said, absolutely no way. It's just not going to happen. And then I remember just sitting there that night going, okay, if now you are now so vulnerable for this to go to federal and high court. And I just sort of took a deep breath and was like, well, I have to, because by this point I knew I was having a girl. I myself am a woman. It was bigger than like Giggle. It wasn't just about like saving my startup. It's like, I actually personally want these rights. I don't want to have men in my spaces, and I don't want to be forced to believe this. So I was like, okay, well, I wouldn't be able to sleep at night if I couldn't live with myself just caving in on it or just giving in. That's just not how I am. I wasn't raised that way. I was raised that, you know, you stand up for yourself. And so there you go. Almost 40 years of being told to stand up for yourself is culminating in this. But look, I have every confidence that we will win eventually. And I've said this all along, the high court is where we can win.
Okay. Sal, thanks for coming back on.
Thank you so much for having me.
And, you know that we'll be following, and there'll be plenty more chats, I'm sure, between now and I think you, my gut, for what it's worth and what do I know, you are going to win.
Yep, we are.
I just know it.
Yeah, same. You know what? Truth and reality wins eventually. It does. You just have to, sometimes you have to fight for it, but it does win. Bad ideologies fall apart. They always have. You just got to push back and make sure it happens.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.